I get you to get your Bibles out? You won't need them quite yet, but I want to jump right into this. You will need to take God good notes. Somebody say amen. I mean, they had, you know, notes to you all mean take a picture on the screen. Listen, I don't know how you do that, but you know what? I saw more pictures and cameras in this next few moments. So let's go ahead and get ready. Jumping right into Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to ask that you would read this with me. This is the New King James Version. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Ready, set, read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. All people say amen. Amen. Praise God. What a word. Amen. I want to share with you this message. Take charge of changing your life. Amen. Oh, I said I jumped right into it and you wasn't ready. I said take charge of changing your life. I want you to understand without a shadow of a doubt, I want to jump right in it. I don't want you to miss it from the very part of the start. Listen, we are not to be victims. We are not to be down and out. We are not to be shadows. We are not to be coming behind. God wants you to know he wants you to take charge of changing your life. Somebody say amen. And for some of us today are visual people, so could you just take a look at this young lady? I mean, my gosh, she's got her hand up to her. She's looking at her future. She's looking ahead. She's not looking behind her for what she didn't do and what they did not say and what she did not get. She's looking ahead. And I love this shadows that's being cast on the wall. My gosh, she's wearing a cape because she's going to be a superwoman. I'm going to take charge of my life. Glory to God. Say, take charge. Take charge. My God. Can you say, take charge? Turn to your neighbor and say, take charge. Take charge. I want to first share with you a testimony. A testimony that I can't elongate, but I will just simply say a firsthand account of God. When we say testimony, we talk about what God is doing. When we talk about testimony, we talk about what? I'll make this as brief as you can, but I pray that it will stir your heart and your faith. I am sorrowful that it's about me and mine, but it's the testimony I know about. And as simply as this, is that my family, and I do mean my household or the four of us, we were in a situation and a circumstance that we had a particular bill that was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. Is anybody with me? I'm saying thousands. I'm making sure you get it right. Are you with me? I want you to know that we were in a circumstance, in a situation where it wasn't frivolous purchasing or anything like that. It was just in some bills that had been accounted, there was thousands of dollars. I mean, hundreds of dollars that was owed. Is anybody with me? And as a result of that, we were in situations where I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about me and my weakness so I can talk about my story. And that simply is, you know, when you get that much that you owe or that you're due, sometimes it causes you to be paralyzed. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I mean, I just, you know, they were, you know, different offices was telling me, you need to go check with this one and fill out this form because you may qualify. And I was like, no, I know I don't qualify for that. You know, nope, I don't. Well, you should really go sit. Nope, not going there. All I'm saying is that I was in a situation where we was just overwhelmed with the amount. Have you been there? I'm not trying to talk about your bank account. Y'all getting quiet up in here, amen? I'm just simply saying that we were in a situation so much so that the next thing you know, one of the things that God did was God put through prayers and through certain situations, God put somebody in our life or put this person that worked at the office. And because of that connection, everybody say testimony. And so one of the things that happened is that because I had a person to identify with, I was able to go to that person and go to that office every month on time and make sure that I was giving her all the money for that account monthly basis. On a what? You know, Pastor Ransom said something that really upset me one time in a message, and I just didn't like it, especially being at this Spirit-filled church, you know. And he said this statement once, and it bothered me. And he said something like this. He said, You know, you have accounted that debt over a bunch of time, and now you just want to come in and think it's just going to be snap and go away. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, and I'm not against that kind of miracle. What I'm saying, though, is how many understand that it's still God's power working for you to be entrusted with being a good steward of making sure you pay off what you may owe month to month? Is anybody with me? And this young lady who her office, you know, I became a kind of an icon of their office that when I came in, they just said, hello, Taran, Taran. They call me Taran. You know, they call me all kinds of names. You know what I'm saying? How many know as soon as they see me coming, they just call the office and say, Torin's here. You may go back now. How many know when I went back, I couldn't even do it off one cord. I had to put two cords in it, you know, because it wasn't enough on one cord. I had to put it on another cord. And so I paid those payments off. And can I fast forward the story? This went on for a couple of years because it was thousands and thousands. And as a direct result, it came up to being just this past September. And Anna didn't even know it was like that. But one of the things that happened with us is that basically this particular person who had been such a blessing in our lives by making sure they were as accountable and keeping me and all this stuff, her last day was September 23rd. And she says, yep, Torrance, I'm leaving. And I said, what's the balance? And she said it was $1,000. Come on, somebody. She said it was a what? And I looked at her and I went, I'm sorry, it's personal to me, but I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm going to come in on the 23rd and I'm going to pay this off. Right? Now, we had already paid the monthly part. I said, I'm going to come in, I'm going to pay this off. I didn't know where the money was going to come from. I didn't know how it was going to happen. But Anna Maria comes in on a particular weekend and somebody, not even in BCC, just, listen, blessed and just gave $1,000. Now, I don't want you to get, oh, he's a pastor and all that. Don't do that because you know what? Your grandma and them be sending you money too. All I'm saying is the people that gave her a donation and a blessing said this, well, it's not like we're going to pay off the medical bill. They didn't know? Yes, they did. Because right then, I went in on the 23rd, gave that $1,000, and God caused us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to be debt-free with that account. Give the Lord a praise offering. That's concrete. That's the word becoming flesh. Say, that's not enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not enough. Because you know what? How many know when we talk about God, things are always done in seed form? Things are done in what? We've got to learn that everything may not all come at once, but if you stay with it, here a little, there a little, if you learn to live with seed, time, and harvest, you can understand that you got to stay with it. Brother Clee, you got to stay with it. Come on, Peter, you got to stay with it. What am I saying? Listen to this, Josh. That was in September. Anna Maria checked in on some other kind of account. And how many know cars cost thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars? And in October, we got a little notice that says, you know, on October 24th, what's today's date? What's today's date? We got a little letter said, on October 24th, that's going to be your last payment because you'll have everything paid off. Come on! Come on! Listen, there was a $17.69 balance. I called them on Friday. I said, hey, what number do I need to give you? What account? What do I need to do? Paid that off today. 2-0 accounts, one on one account, one on another, because God is a testimony. Give the Lord a praise offering for finances and blessings. Somebody say amen. Listen, we are testifying and preaching to pray for today, finances. Come on, somebody, amen. We're going to testify and we're going to amen and treat. preaching, for pray for people's what? And we're going to pray for people to be free in Christ. To be what? To be what? How many know God doesn't want us bound by anything? Listen, he doesn't want us bound in our hearts with unforgiveness. He doesn't want us bound in our minds with anxiety or stress or tension or emotional discomfort. And God doesn't want us bound in our lives by things that we need to be free in. Praise God. Listen, we're praying and believing God for people to be transformed. To be what? To be what? And we want to pray today. We're going to teach, preach, and reach people to know what is the will of God for your life. To know what is the what? The will of God for your life. Today we're going to pray for, read them. We're going to pray for people to be?
Free in Christ.
We're going to pray that people be?
Transformed.
And we're going to believe, teach, and preach, and reach, and share with people so that they might know the?
Will of God for your life.
Somebody say amen. Do you know that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16:16, this is the first part, but it says this. Do you remember when Jesus said this? He says, but whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I what?
Am.
And Peter makes this announcement that is epic in the Gospels, right? He makes this epic statement that we all need to know. We all need to know this, Ethan. And this is what he says. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the what?
Christ.
The Son of the living God. Praise Jesus. We need to learn how to memorize some of these scriptures because look at this. This is a quaint number, Matthew 16:16. So you can remember that, amen? So you can say, you know what? Jesus is the Christ. And he's the Son of the what?
Living God.
He's the Son of the living God. Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, practice saying it. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise God. Listen, let me give you a little hint. You ever been watching a TV show? Now, I know most of y'all don't watch TV shows. Y'all watch Netflix. I get that. But have you ever been watching a show and they use Jesus' name? They say something like this, Jesus or God. You ever watch the shows do like that?
Yep.
This is what I'm teach you how to say. Praise them. They say God. God, glory to him. Praise Jesus. That's awesome, amen. Listen, say Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, without discrepancy, I want to make sure that I'm being as clear as I possibly can. We here are about Jesus.
Amen.
We here are about Jesus. We don't gather for motivational speaking. We don't gather for those to socially come together and pass out cards and get to know each other. We don't gather because somebody's going to take us to lunch. We're not here because somebody needs to be, you know, puffed up or anything like that. No, 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 no. We are here and gathered around one individual, and that one person is Jesus. Jesus. Let me tell you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rose of Sharon, the balm of Gilead. I'm saying the one who is called the Prince of Peace. He is a wonderful counselor. I'm talking about the one who is the God of all peace. I'm talking about the God of all comfort. I'm talking about the one who walks on water and walks on land. I'm talking about Jesus who came, and when he came through the womb of a woman because that's the only legal way to get on earth. He came through the womb of a woman, and that means to say anybody that has an ID card on earth, you have more authority than the devil because he didn't come in the right way. I want you to know that Jesus came through the womb of a woman. He was born to a Virgin Mary, and he was of the Holy Spirit who conceived her. We are here about Jesus, the one who served people, opened blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. He said, I'm going to be here to finish the mission that the God the Father sent me for. For this purpose, I've come into the earth. And he came in. He took a cross and he was crucified. They hung him high, stretched him wide, and he saved on the right hand while he was dying. And then what he did, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then on the third day, he rose up in resurrection to make sure that he would be called Lord of all. The name that is given above all other names, that at the name of
of Jesus, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know what you are here for, but I'm here for Jesus.
Just in case I'm unclear. Last week, we learned the express entries to elevation. We learned what? Say it.
The express entries to elevation.
I want you to make sure you take a look at this picture. Because we can learn something. This picture is very prophetic, very profound. Because look at this. You see, notice that this traffic off to the right is congested and bumper to bumper. And how many know if you was in those lanes, you would get to wherever you're going a lot slower? Is everybody with me? How many suppose if you were trying to grow and you was in that lane, it would go slow? How many know if you had to get somewhere, you had to grow into something, you had to become something, God had a divine destiny on your life, and you was in that lane, it would get there late? Is anybody there? All I'm trying to make sure you understand is, but the lane to the left, it says the express lanes of entrance. How many know to go express, you got to get in the right lane? In order to go to a faster lane, hear this is important. The Bible says, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are found therein. Are you with me? But the way that leads to everlasting or to life, few, it's narrow and few are found on it. How many know I want to be on the, I want to enter in on the express lane to grow and to elevate? All we're talking about is elevation. All we're talking about is what?
Elevation.
All we're talking about is elevation, going up. And I want you to hear this. This is very important. You might want to write this note down. It's not up there. For many of us that drive in urban populations and we know these lanes pretty well, get this. There's something about that express lane all over the country. Is that in order to be on that lane, you got to have somebody in the car with you. Oh, you don't understand what that means. What that means is if you're going to elevate, if you're going to go up, if you're on your way somewhere, you better be taking somebody with you. You are not to be going on your own. You're not to be alone. You better grab somebody with you so you can elevate together. God wants us to go up together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. So therefore, I like this picture here because it puts all three together of what we've talked about. And that simply is this. In the middle, you have the elevator. You have the what?
Elevator.
It's just an entryway to go up. Off to the left, you have a what?
Escalator.
It's another way to go up. It's another way to do what? And off to the right, you have a what?
Stairs.
You have stairs because it's another way to go what? You see, what I wanted to do is I wanted to get on these three right here and just race somebody. Amen. How many of you know, I just start back here and just say go. But here's something very important. You see, the difference is it wouldn't really matter too much if you was on your way to the second or third floor.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So you got to know where you're going because that's based on what you use. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Come on, stay with me. How many of you know if you were going to the 12th floor, if you was in the elevator, you might want to take some oxygen with you to go help the people on the stairwell. Are you with me? Amen. Because it's based on how high you're trying to go. You've got to know what to get in and where to enter in. Say, I want to go up. So therefore, we want to elevate. Can I get you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew 16, if you will. I'll be using the New King James Version. I've got to go quickly, so jump and run over there with me. There's some really good points towards the end of the message. I want to make sure we get to them. Matthew chapter 16, New King James Version says, again, I'm starting at verse 24. Now remember this. This is kind of important. Everybody look up real quick. We've already read verse 16. We've already read verse what?
16.
Now we're jumping down to verse 24. So this is the same kind of account, the same kind of letter. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, what? If anyone, what? To come after me, let him and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can I get you to jump over to Luke chapter 9 real quick, and then we'll jump right back. Go to Luke chapter 9. I want you to, don't just like let me read it to you. Go ahead and find it in your Bible as well, amen. Luke chapter 9, and we're just going to jump to verse 28, if you don't mind. I want you to see this sequentially as the story is told in maybe a greater completeness. In verse 28, it says this. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went on the mountain to pray. He went on the mountain to what?
Pray.
He went onto the mountain to what?
Pray.
Now catch this phrase. As he prayed, say that with me. As he prayed. One more time.
As he prayed,
the appearance of his face was, yeah, that's good. Of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. Now jump back over to Matthew 17. This is the same account, different writers. So now we're at Matthew 17, and we're just going to take a look at verse 1 and 2. Notice what it says in verse 1 and 2. Verse 1. Now, and we have already talked about 8 and 6 days. You have to go back and listen to that other message. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Same account. And he was transfigured. And he was what?
Transfigured.
Before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And everybody said, amen. So I want to share with you, please look up and take a look at these notes. I just want to make sure we're hearing and seeing these values and importance so that we can be grounded. Look, Jesus transfigured in prayer. Say that with me.
Jesus
transfigured in prayer. Can we say that we just read that?
Yes.
Look at this. We transfigure in prayer. Say it. I really like how y'all split it. He was here first service, you're here second service. That's good, sis. Good job. Listen, we transfigure in what?
Prayer.
Look at this. We transform in prayer into people of all things are possible. I'm going to let that sever for a little bit. In prayer, we transform into people who are, we live by all things are what?
Possible.
Go ahead and read that third line. Ready, set, read. And the last one is this. We can now see God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You remember what Jesus said in that last verse of chapter 16? He said, there are some standing here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus has already died. He has already been buried. He has already rose again, and he inaugurated the kingdom of God. And he gave us the prayer to pray. It's not his prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. That's not true. It's our prayer from the Lord. And what does he tell us to pray? He tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because he's not going to have us pray something that he has not already provided for. So therefore, we can see the kingdom of God come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Why is this important? Because now God, through his son Jesus, has opened up to us the supernatural. Jesus has opened up to us the supernatural. What does that mean, Pastor? When Jesus was transfigured, it was supernatural. Listen, heaven came down. Moses has been dead. Did y'all know that? He shows up. How many know that's supernatural? My God. This is second service. I mean, y'all are awake. I want you to know this, though, in this other discoloration. This is important. I didn't have enough place to put the whole words in, but listen, this is very important. What this means through the transfiguration is change comes from within. Change comes from within. Say that with me. Change comes from within. Say it again. Change comes from within. Do you know what this means? That we have got to stop having things on the outside of us dictate and run our lives. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. You know what? Here's another way of saying it. We have got to stop being impressed by the size of your problem when you've got the bigger one on the inside of you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. Say transfigure.
Transfigure.
The express entries, this is broken down by that verse. This is just, I'm not doing anything tricky. Matthew 16, 24 says it. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I am putting forth, there are five express lanes or express entries to elevation. Number one is to desire God. Is to what?
Desire God.
Is to what?
Desire.
Come on, this part is not boring. I'm trying to get you to elevate. Listen, to do what? Desire God. If anyone desires to come after me, that's what Jesus said. Verse two. Listen, number two, he says this. Deny yourself. Say that.
Deny yourself.
This is so important because I'm gonna work with this one a little bit. What that means is, this is because people have come to me and asked me, what did that mean? So I'm going to help. It means deny your way. I'm going to break that down over here. It doesn't have to be your way. Deny your way. Look, deny your wants and deny your will. Do you realize that many of our conflicts and fights is because you're fighting for what you want and your way and your will? The next one is die to self. Say it. Do you know what this means? Present yourself a living sacrifice. Present yourself a what? Can I differentiate between two and three, because that's the two that people are dealing with? You see, in number two, deny yourself. Deny your what?
Self.
It's you deny yourself. Number three is not that. Number three is about sacrifice. Number three is about what?
Sacrifice.
How many understand number two is denying yourself? But number three is that you're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. Now I understand that got 1.5 amens. I get that. But how many know anybody in a relationship or married, you have learned this. Right? And those that are not married, I would like to share with you your syllabus. You are going to learn this. Somebody say amen. Because in order to do this, you've got to learn how to sacrifice. What does the scripture say? Take up your cross. Now, I want to be very clear here. We're not talking about you have to be Jesus. Jesus made it very clear. You take up your cross. Somebody say amen. Look at number four. Is to decide to follow Jesus. And that means perpetually, like the game we play as children, follow the leader. Did you know that game actually means you keep on following? You know, like Mother May I and all those games where you have to ask for permission. Mother May I. And how many know you're supposed to keep doing it until they say no? That's the way we follow Jesus, and Jesus never says no. So therefore, we follow him how? Perpetually. Follow me. And number five is the renewing of your mind. Is the renewing of your what?
Mind.
It's a word I want to introduce. It's a made-up word, but it's called reminding. It's called what?
Reminding.
Because reminding transforms us. So these are the five entryways to elevation. These are the five entryways to what? I want to share with you now from entry to elevation to take charge. And I've got to go fast. The entry to elevation to take charge. Because we're talking about take charge of changing your life. Everybody with me? Now, you really want to get this because you only, you know, you got to get this. I want to say this. A, the Bible says, and we did, what happened? Did we missed a verse. Did we miss a verse? Hold on. I need to go back a little bit. Ah, there we go. Look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the New Living Translation says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Could you read the underlying part? Read it. Because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And everybody said amen. Now we want to see this. In other translations, it says the mercies of God. But I like the way the New Living Translation says, for all that he has done for you. So look what it says here. This is from the mercies of God, not for the mercies of God. I need you to think that through a little bit. It did not say offer our bodies as a living sacrifice for something. It says, because of all of what he's done for you, offer yourself. You're offering yourself from what God has done, not for what God can do. That's good preaching. Look at this, and I put that word on there for a purpose, and not for more. In other words, don't get into works for more when he's already done all through his grace, mercy, and peace. So therefore, we are now living from and not for. We're living what? And not for. I'm going to keep going. I told you all last week that there were so many things that I wrote down, and I kind of reviewed some of them, so I'll tell you a couple of them again. I shared two last week. I'm going to share another couple this week. And that simply is this. You see, I want you to hear these two. Anna Maria, my bride, 27 years, I've got this little issue, and I'm a little embarrassed about it, but that's okay, is that I got these things, these little white hairs that shoot out of my mustache. And I just don't know where they come from, amen? I wish that they didn't do that, amen? But I, Monique, you're laughing way too hard, sweetie. And I got these little things that they just shoot out like this, right? And so... I say, honey, can you take the tweezers and pick those out for me? And I don't know what's wrong with my wife, but she really likes that a lot. I don't know why she likes that too much. I don't know. It might have something to do with it. I keep jumping every time she does it. I don't know, but my issue is, she puts on the glasses and she just pulls them out and makes sure they're all gone and brushes them this way and tediously goes about it. Is everybody with me? Maybe this one makes sense. You know, a mother can work all day or do whatever she's created and purposed to do in life. She might go to work from the home or she might work in the home and she might help farming, with farmers. It doesn't matter what she does, but she can work all day and then make sure that when the children come home from school or whatever, or homeschooling or whatever, and she makes sure there's a snack for them and everything is lined up in there, and then she helps them with homework or whatever she might do. And then I'm not saying this is based on just set roles, but she might make the dinner and prepare all of that, and she already grocery shopped earlier, and she probably has a stare of four or two or three, might be a single mother, might be a single dad, but a parent, you know, she got all that stuff going on. And then she makes sure she reads to them before they go to bed, and then she tucks them into bed, and then she might just a little bit try to have a little something to do for herself. Maybe she washes her little face or puts on
on one of those strips to make her teeth white or something, you know, whatever she might do, you know. And then maybe she might read a few scriptures, and while she's trying to pray, she might doze off or maybe watch a little show on the TV or whatever she might do to just try to take care of herself. But somehow in the midst of hearing a sniffle at 12:02, she still gets up. And I know parents that actually, like, go in, both men and women, both dads, that will go into the room and lay on the floor next to the child's bed and then put their hand up on their back and rub it to make sure that they fall asleep on the ground. I'm going to ask you a question. Are they doing that for something? You see what I mean? I'm still working through this concept that I'm somehow miscommunicating to do more. I'm not asking to do more. I'm asking to do from. Amen. To do from what God has already done. And when I say do from, watch this, it's because, look at it, it's on the screen, from, watch this, a love relationship. Somebody say amen. When that mom is rubbing that back, that dad is rubbing that back, or falling asleep on that rocking chair, that glider, they are in love. Somebody say amen. Amen. All I'm trying to get us to understand is when it says living sacrifice, say living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. I want you to understand, this is straight in that verse. I am accepted by God. So my my reasonable acts of spiritual service and worship is my response to God. Not my requirement. Is any glory to God? Let me deal with this chorus right quick, and then I'll preach through the message, screaming, hollering, shouting, and make the first row wet. Listen, the cords of restraint. Now I know that little concept last week really kind of bothered some people. Maybe I don't know if it did or not, but let's say it did. And I was talking about the cords on the altar, and I just want to say a little bit about that. I want you to get this point because it's kind of a really good point. The point is, if we're going to be a living sacrifice, that means as a sacrifice, we have to learn how to say no to some things. How many know we've got some things in our lives we got to learn how to say no to? How many understand one of Anna Maria's, one of her favorite Bible passages is that to us, all things are permissible, but not all things edify. Do you see what I mean? Say, how many of you got to learn how to say what? You've got to learn, I'll just use nurses or CNAs or whatever, is that, you know, I know some situations or whatever, is that, you know, suppose you, you know, were in a situation that they asked you to do this and you said yes to that and then, you know, but then you are compromised from something you were supposed to do over there and then, like, you feel bad now and then now you feel obligated and then they say, you know, you're supposed to do this over here and now you got to go over here and do this, but they didn't know you had to do that over there too. And so, you're stretched thin. I mean, no, you're frustrated with your life. You're frustrated with your situation, and it's happening, and you just need to know that God was trying to teach you that He is greater, that is for you, than the whole world that is against you. And if you would practice the empowerment of being able to just say no, it would cause you to learn how to be restrained from having to please people. That was so powerful. That was so powerful. You see, what you didn't realize is that potentially what's going on inside of you is either perfectionism or pleasism. Like, you don't want people to see you differently, so you won't say no, so you keep saying yes, and you understand where you've got several jobs going on at the same time. And really, genuinely, we need to understand that it wasn't about the job. It was about me. Somebody say amen. I'm preaching better than you shouting right now. We can't do it all, but let's do this. Go to Romans chapter 12. Oh, boy, there were so many good things in there. We're just going to read the first verse. I'm sorry, verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together, and I think I'll be able to take this message. It says in Romans chapter 12, and I want to talk about verse 2. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read verse 2. You got to kind of remember verse 1, but let's look at verse 2. It says this, and do not be conformed to this world.
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Listen, I was talking this over during praise and worship, knowing my time was limited. The things on the notes and stuff, you can't necessarily get, but you can read the rest of this chapter. You can read the rest of this what? So I am pleading with you, please read the rest of the chapter today. Choose, if you get to choose a translation, do New Living Translation. But please read the rest of the chapter. If you're married, read the rest of the chapter. You got roommates, maybe at Bricks, whatever, wherever you're at, read the rest of the chapter today. Can I get you to do that? Yeah. But what I want to do is I want you to hear this, and I shared a little bit of this because I want you to know there's so many people in our room and watch online that sometimes people need something that is a little bit more higher level of a understanding intellectually or stimulated by something that may be written that in such a way that you can understand it. And so I want you to hear this about this chapter and about this verse. It says this. He said, this guy named right here, McLaren, he says this. I had occasion to point out in a sermon on a preceding verse that the apostle is in this context making the transition, listen to this, from the doctrinal, talking about the other 11 chapters, to the practical part of his letter. And that he lays down broad principles of which all his subsequent injunctions and exhortations are simply the filling up of the details. One master word, listen to this, for the whole Christian life, as we then saw, is sacrifice. He said the whole Christian life could be wrapped up in this word, and that word is what?
Sacrifice.
And he says self-surrender. See, this is not somebody making you do something. This is self-surrender. And that to God in like manner. Paul here brackets with that great conception of the Christian life, another equally dominant and equally comprehensive. In one aspect, it is self-surrender. It is self what? In another, it is the growing transformation. And just as in the former verse, we found that an inward surrender preceded the outward sacrifice, and that the inner man, having been consecrated as a priest by this yielding of himself to God, was then called upon to manifest inward consecration by outward sacrifice. So in the further exhortation, an inward renewing of the mind is regarded as the necessary antecedent of transformation of an outward life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is what this means when you break this down. Listen, no matter what you don't remember, remember this. In order to take charge of changing your life, you need to have a renewed mind. You have to have a renewed mind. Same mind, same results. Change mind, change results. Everybody said amen? All right, let me give it to you quick. Listen. Take charge of changing your life. Say it with me. Take charge of changing your life. Come on, everybody. Take charge of changing your life. All I'm trying to say, I love this little guy. He's a light bulb. Are you with me? I like the little light bulb because light bulb means ideas. And how many know you need to learn how to plug in and get some power so you can have some new ideas? You got to learn how to plug in. That means get charged, because when you get charged and take charge of your life, you're going to begin to get new ideas. Somebody say amen. I want to break this down. Listen, and do not be conformed to this world. And do not be what? That word conform really means do not submit or comply with. The word conform in the Greek means do not comply with. In other words, do not submit to. In other words, do not allow yourself to submit to the ways of this world. And when it says world, it really means, in better translation, means the trends of the current time. How many know that the trends of this world, they come and go, but only Jesus Christ remains the same? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. My God, I'm not worried about a pandemic. It happened 100 years ago. Jesus remained the same. He got his church through it then. He'll get us through it now. Why? Because he does not change. Say elevate. We want that. Listen, we don't want to be a part of this world. So guess what? We need to stop talking like the world. That's good preaching. Listen, I don't know how we can continue to let what comes on media dictate our lives, but we keep excusing it while we go to the next app. All I'm saying is, I hope that's the Bible app. But be transformed. Be what? But be what? The word transform means transfigured. Now, the scholar says it this way. We don't know if this particular passage of scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is predicated on what Jesus did. We don't know that. But we could infer that we know that it's the same word, which is metamorpho. I want you to know these four words, and I keep telling them to you every week because the word transfigure is the same word for transform. And the same word for transform is the word metamorpho. Say metamorpho. And we know the word metamorpho shows up four times in the Bible. One of the ways it shows up is twice in the gospel, talking about Jesus transfiguring. The second time it shows up is here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye what? And the third time it shows up is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Can I get you to go there real quick? Somebody, anybody, go there real quick. I want you to see this. It's an important point. Going fast as I can. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, last verse. Look what it says, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody said amen. What I'm trying to make sure we all know is sometimes when we think about being transformed, we think it's for new Christians. We think it's for baby Christians. We think it's for new believers. No, 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 no. I don't know about you, but this part right here says, even if I am an old, old, old Christian like me, I know that I still want to be transformed. I still want to be transfigured. I still want to be metamorphosed. I still want to be changed. That means I want to become financially debt-free. Why is that? Because the Bible says I can as I behold the glory of the Lord. And then as I see the glory, I too am being metamorphosed or transformed because of Jesus' image. Praise God. You see, no matter where you are. Listen, some of you all are dealing with some hard stuff right now. I don't care how much you strive. The scholar says this. It is unwise for anybody to think you can pull up yourself on your own. Say, be transformed. Look at this. I'm trying to finish. Say, by the renewing. Say, by the renewing. Look at this. This is very important. Repentance means change mind. I like to say it this way. It means leads to changed heart, which leads to changed behavior. But I want you to hear this. It's very important, everybody. You see, many scholars or even mental people, like people that are really high-minded, like not like wrong, but like really intellectual, very, you know, good scholars, good Bible teachers and stuff like that, they really, really make sure we know this. And I, too, believe in it. And that is the word repentance means change mind. It means what?
Change mind.
So here it is. It does mean change mind. But sometimes I'm a little weary over us emphasizing that it means change mind because it's like we're running and so tempted to be scared away from like our emotions or like there won't be any other kinds of dealings with the things that's going on inside of us from a feeling standpoint. This can't just be a mental ascent or I get it figured out through some scholarly way. No, do you know why? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says this, godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. Oh, yes. You see, repentance does mean change mind, but the Bible says godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. All I'm trying to say is that, you know, some things we ought to be sorrowful about before God. Oh, I'm saying you don't have to be all embarrassed and weeping and snotting and all that, but my God, there ought to be something inside of you that says I'm sorrowful. Look at what the note says. New thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, now be renewed in the spirit and the attitude of your mind. How many know some of us use that word attitude like this, attitude? So the New Living Translation puts it in there for you. Now be renewed in the spirit and the attitude of your what? What does that mean? Look, we want to be open to new, but not stuck, not stubborn, not stiffened or scared of change. Some, we don't want to be scared of letting go. We want to be able to try openly, totally towards new, because these words mean to surrender and to be in submission. You see, that's so vital when some of us have been teaching, don't you say, you know, don't you surrender to anybody. I want to be able to surrender to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say of your mind. Say reminding. Look, to be renewed in the mind is means you're going to be destined to become like Jesus and not like this world. I'm trying to finish and hurry up. This does not mean, look at this, Ethan, this does not mean positive thinking. That's very important, young adults. This is not positive thinking. This is not what? Why? Because you know what? Positive thinking has no power. Positive thinking has no what? We will, listen, this is a good part. We will always be trying to get God to solve our problems when God's will is to partner with him to be the answer to problems. To operate in kingdom of God authority for possibilities to conquer and overcome impossibilities. You see, we as people of God, we think differently. We think what? We think what? I'm trying to get you to understand some of us need to get charged in our mind. You can play that music, Carly, if you won't mind. Look at the picture. We are talking about, look, we need to get charged in our what? We need to get charged in our what? You may stand to your feet. That you may prove. That you may what? Will of God. We believe that we have to find the best people, but rather we should find the best in people. Come on, we've got deans and CEOs, people that own businesses, HR background, entrepreneurs in here, people that speak all over the world, students, people that are over organizations. Look at this. It is human that we believe we ought to find the best people. But rather, listen, I'm serious. But rather, we should find the best in people. One pastor said it this way. If you ever visit, like you're on a subway or you know, on a bus or something like that, if you listen to how people are talking about the person that's not there, typically it's never positive. Do you know why that's important? It's because you know what? However we talk about other people when they're not there, that also pulls you down. Look at this. We want to be around the best people. Then we must be the best people who see the best in people so that people become the best as people. What I'm trying to get you to understand, you remember that song by Marvin Sapp? Some of y'all never heard it, maybe never heard it, but this is why it has 8 million hits. It's because it says, he saw the best in me. 8 million hits. Because we want people. Listen what he, you know what the other line says? They saw the worst in me. How many of you know, even though people might see the worst in you, we've got Jesus, we've got a Savior, we've got a rescuer that he sees the best in you. We must think and know God is good. He is love. He changes people to change their lives. You may be wondering, what is the will of God for your life? Jim Rohn says this, your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. Father, thank you. Can I get 30 seconds of your time? Can I get you to have your hand find somebody's shoulder, if you would, right now? Come on. Have your hand find someone's shoulder right now. 30 seconds. I want you to begin to pray for them right now. These four areas. Pray over their finances. Pray that they might be free in Christ. Pray that they might be transformed, and pray that the will of God for their lives. Come on, I'm giving you 20 more seconds. Do it right now. Pray for them right now, out loud. Come on, out loud right now. Pray out loud right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to dismiss on this last point. Researchers have found that when we're together as believers, or when you're together with God, or when you're together and you're repeating the word of God and you're praying together and you come together and you agree on a mutual thing, listen to this, the neurons, the actual brain itself, they have found that the neurons, when things fire together, they wire together. When neurons fire together, they what? That means that we ought not be doing things with the world. But we should be doing things with God. Because you, let me know, if you and God get together in prayer, he begins to tell you and remind you of things about his word, promises over your life, then when you begin to agree with him, how many know when we get together and we say amen and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, or pray for one another, that what happens is that we fire together, therefore we are what? Wired together. And it has been found that people that pray in other tongues uses a part of the brain that is not used for anything else. When people pray in other tongues, they don't know what it's for yet, but how many know I'm going to keep praying in other tongues because I want to fire with God so that I might be wired with God, because as I behold him in his glory, I am transformed into the very image of the one who created me. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. And by the renewing of our mind, we want to be transformed into your image, into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.